going back to John as we complete, we're coming up close to the end of the book of John. Last time we looked at the latter end of chapter 18, but we're going to go through for today's lesson, we're going to look at 18 as well, again, the latter end. We're going to look at starting with verse 28 of chapter 18, and we'll read down through chapter 19, verse 16. And Lord willing, we can get through this. And if not, then I have part of my lesson ready for next week. So I want to look at the idea. We're now, just as a means of review before we get too far in, the last time we visited this portion of Scripture, we looked at the Jews and what they did as far as their trial. There was a Jewish trial, and then there was also, and we're going to start looking at the Roman trial. There was definitely a need for both. Is this not working? Okay, it's working. Okay, but this isn't working? In and out? Anyways, there was a Jewish trial and a Roman trial. If you remember, they actually did something very illegal, even to the Jewish trial. They took him to a previous judge. He wasn't even actually the judge at the time, but it was his son-in-law that was. And so they took him to him, and then they took him to the other Jewish judge. And do you remember what happened to him after Jesus was talking to that? Do we remember any of the ramifications of that Jewish, as I've heard it before, kangaroo court? What did they do? What did they do to our Savior? One, they falsely accused him. I mean, that should be fairly normal. What else? Or not normal, but expected. What else did they do? When he replied, what was happening to our Savior? They would ask questions, and what did they do? Look at verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" He was not only falsely accused, he was not only wrongly convicted, but he was also abused during this whole process. We're going to see that this will measure, it'll be nothing compared to what he experienced in the Roman court. Let's start reading with verse 28 then, and we'll read down through chapter 19, verse 16. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." This is what I was referring to in the message this morning. They had a criminal, but they wouldn't even go into the hall of judgment, into a Roman hall of judgment, because they would end up being defiled. And yet they're bringing an innocent man before a pagan king or a pagan ruler. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." They've already determined what Jesus should have to suffer for what he's done, which are these false accusations. "That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying that death he should die." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you at the Passover, one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. That was only one thing he was. There were many things that Barabbas was. He was not a very good fellow. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Now understand that he had the crown of thorns, and he also had the purple robe. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you now, Lord, again truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us to study a portion of your word. Lord, please bring to my mind those things that I've studied and clarify my thoughts, Lord, as I try and communicate them to your people. We ask, Lord, for your leadership and your guidance as we study together. We ask these things in Jesus Christ, in his precious name, amen. Amen. The reason I went through and read these verses once more, verses 28 down through 19, verse 16, is because I want to look at the four questions that Pilate had. Again, we're looking at the Roman trial, this Roman trial, and the leader that was responsible for Jesus, the results of this judgment by the Jews, was Pilate. Pilate was now solely responsible for this situation. Now, in the end, he really wasn't, because of the fact Jesus even clarifies in the text. It says, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin? Who was it that delivered him? No, it wasn't Judas. Who was it that brought him to Pilate? Who? No. Verse 28. Who was it that brought him to Pilate? Wasn't Judas. Yes, but it was one specific. Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the leader of the Jews, was the one that was solely responsible. And that's why Jesus says clearly that it was the one. Therefore, he, one person, not all of them, one, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Caiaphas knew of the prophecy. He knew of the teachings of the Christ, the Redeemer, that was supposed to come and redeem his people. And he delivered him for that death. So anyways, there were four questions that needed to be answered by Pilate. One of the first ones is, what is the accusation? We see that in verses 28 down through verse 32 of our text in 18. He asked the questions after they bring them, but he says, Pilate then went out, in verse 29, unto them and saith, what accusation bring ye against this man? What is the accusation? What is the charge against this so-called malefactor? We see here that, as we mentioned earlier, that they wouldn't even defile themselves by going into this Roman judgment hall, but they would definitely bring an innocent man there to be convicted by the Romans. The Jews were permitted to retain some of their own judgments. I don't know if you realize that or not. We could see that through this portion and another portion of Scripture. They were able to retain some of their own judgments, their own court system, according to their laws, but they had no authority to put them on a Roman cross. They obviously had the right to be able to kill people, but the right in which they had was to stone them. According to their laws, it was that way. Another example of that is over in Acts chapter 18 and verses 12 through 16. But then we can also see in Acts chapter 7 what happened to Stephen and who was he talking to? He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders at that time. What did they do? They stoned him to death. That was their authority. But it also said there in Ephesians, or in Acts chapter 18, we'll briefly look over there at that. Acts 18 says in verse 12, it says, and when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews had insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law, contrary to the Jewish law. Galileo was not a Jewish leader. He was another Roman leader. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, that means your religious law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat, which means that he pushed them away, got them out of the area and said, it's up to you. If it's against your Jewish law, then you take care of it. I'm not going to be a part of it. Maybe he learned from Pilate. I don't know. But there was definitely a certain amount of anonymity that was given to them according to their Jewish religious laws. If the Jews had convicted them, then, again, as I've already mentioned, they would have stoned Jesus. However, Jesus already revealed by what death he was to go through. John chapter 12 and verses 32 and 33, And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. It's also stated in John chapter 3 and verse 14 and also in John chapter 8 and verse 28 that he was going to be lifted up from the earth. You cannot be lifted up from the earth when you're stoned to death. You can't be. So lifted up from the earth was signifying the cross. Now the cross was an accursed person. Jesus had to be accursed before the Father in order to be the proper sacrifice. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 22 and 23 says, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. Is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. They knew what that punishment was. These Jewish leaders, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these law writers, scribes, all of them, they knew what the law stated. And the law stated that if they were to hang on a tree, they were going to be accursed of God. And that's what they want Jesus to be. They wanted him to be cursed of God. The New Testament reference to the same very text is over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. We won't go over there and read it for the sake of time. Now, there were three accusations against him by the Jews. Remember, the question is that we have here that's stated in verse 29, what accusation bring ye against this man? There were three. And if you go over and look in your Bible, it's over in Luke chapter 23 and verse 2. The three charges are brought forth. It's not stated here in John. But over there in Luke chapter 23 and verse 2, it says these are the three that they brought forth to Pilate. It says, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Those were three specific attempts that they, or accusations that they brought before Pilate, the Roman leader, the pagan leader, that was going to be trying Jesus Christ. We found this fellow perverting the nation. Now this offense was to the Roman law, which meant that he was trying to lead or cause a dissension from the Jews to the Romans. He never did this. In fact, there was one perceived attempt to make him a king, and he fled from their political agenda. This was after he fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fish in John chapter 6 and verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He was not going to be playing a part of their politics or their insurrection against the Romans at that time. That was not what he was there for. All right? So that was accusation one. Not much root there in that one. He also, the second one was forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. This again was another offense to Roman law. Now, he did get after or ridicule and criticize all of the Jewish leaders, but never did he bring one against the Roman Caesar. Did he? The Jewish leaders, what did he call them? What was his common name for the Jewish leaders? Huh? Called them dogs? What else? One that none of us like to be called. Hypocrite. He called them hypocrites. From the beginning of when he started having any kind of interaction with them until towards the very end. He called them hypocrites, but never did he say anything against Caesar or any of the Roman leaders. Never did he do that. In fact, he even paid taxes and taught them that they should do that. In practice, Matthew chapter 17 and verses 26 and 27 said, Peter saith unto him, of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. He's talking about his children, those that are saved, the born-again children. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. It was tax time. And what they did was they came and addressed Peter and said, why is it that your master doesn't pay taxes? And he came back and told Jesus what they said. Jesus said, I don't have to pay taxes, but so that we don't offend them, here, this is what I want you to do. And we'll pay it for mine and for yours. Here you go. That was in practice. He also, instruction, ended up doing the opposite. Matthew chapter 22, in verses 20 and 21, it says, and he saith unto them, who is this image and superscription? They came in and asked him about paying taxes again. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto what? Caesar. The things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Jesus Christ never incited any kind of insurrection against the Roman government, never said anything against the Roman law, the government. In fact, he even stated that he, by practice, he paid taxes, and even by teaching, he also taught that they were responsible to pay their taxes. No problems there. So that's accusation number two. Now, accusation number three is a little bit more interesting. He himself is Christ, a king. Now, I put originally, the other two were definitely offenses to the Roman law, but I also believe the way in which they were bringing this out was the idea of another offense against the Roman law. Originally, I put down the Jewish law, but it really is another offense against Roman law. Why? Because there was only to be one king. Who is that one king supposed to be? Caesar. Not Jesus. There was only one king. There was only one king, and that was Caesar. But this was not, again, something that he chose to do, but he did not, in a political sense, want to be the king. But he was the king of the Jews. It wasn't ever in a political manner. It was always in a spiritual manner. The next question was, what did you do? What accusation bring ye against this man? The second question is, are you the king of the Jews? In verses 33 down to verse 38. Are you king of the Jews? Now this question was a very important question for Pilate at this time. Passover was a common time of worry for the Roman government because they thought that it was a perfect time and was a perfect time in many ways to be able to stage a coup of sorts, right? This was the time of what? The Passover. The Passover. Now let's think about what the Passover was. What was the Passover and when was the Passover instituted? It was instituted in the Old Testament. When did it start? The night they were leaving Egypt. That Passover was set up for, they were to put the blood at the top of the doorposts and at the bottom, signifying the cross. They didn't even realize, I don't think they even realized what it meant. But they put that up there to be able to protect their what? Their children. Their children, the oldest, remember? The firstborn, that's right. The firstborn child. It wasn't the firstborn male. It was the firstborn child. And in order for the death angel to pass by, then they were to put the blood above and on the two side posts, and that was to say that they would pass. Anybody that didn't have that, their firstborn was going to die, whether they were male or female. That was when they ended up having the first institution of the Passover feast. Why? Because the death angel passed over. Passed by. That was when they ended up having the sacrifice. That is when they ate the bitter herbs. That's when they did all of that night. All right? That was the first Passover. The following day, Caesar was so upset, hurt over the fact that I've had enough of these stinking Jews. Get them out of my hair. Get out of here. Take whatever you want. I don't care. I just want to get you out of my hair. Obviously, that was Matt Brooks's translation. Okay? And then, so therefore, he left. They left. But the Lord said that that was to be a remembrance ceremony. So, thinking about this, this is the Passover time, right? This is the New Testament. So they're celebrating the idea of deliverance from another tyrannical leader, which was Pharaoh. Now they have another one, which is Rome. They can't freely worship. They can't freely do what they want. They can't rule themselves. They're not even in their own land. And the idea of possessing their own land, somebody else is possessing their land. So it would stand to reason that Pilate would be a little bit upset or on edge at Passover time. Now, Jesus was not delivered to Pilate by the Romans, but by his own nation's leader. So he asks the question in verse 35, what hast thou done? Jesus answers his question in a manner that explains who he is and what he was doing. John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants, what? Fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You know, what's interesting to me is that we go through, and I'm kind of jumping around this point here, but, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to believe that the same people a week earlier that were laying the olive branches down and they were saying, Hail, Hosanna, and all that, they were the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. No, they didn't. Those people were from Galilee. He's now in Jerusalem. This is a different set of people. This is a different set of people. Now remember, as he's in Jerusalem, these people were the religious leaders of the day, and we can go back and see, and I don't have it written down here, but there are other areas of the four Gospels that said that the Jewish leaders were the ones that incited the crowd to release Barabbas and to crucify him. It was the Jewish leaders. The Galileans, and some theologians seem to believe that if it were really the Galileans, they probably would have fought to be able to release him, to get him released. But I don't know. Other than the fact that I believe that this was just the religious leaders of that day and of that area. Different area. Now, we know that Jesus could have easily, very easily, been delivered, could he not? In fact, he stated that. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels, according to that text, to deliver him. He didn't need Peter to cut off the ear of Malchus. Pilate's next question seems to be inquiring of where he got his authority to be king. And we look at John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore saith unto him, art thou a king then? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Again, did he threaten Pilate at all in that reply? No. There is no threatening manner in that. He said, yes, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. You know, again, some theologians tend to believe that when Pilate said in his reply to that, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? It sounds like a bit of sarcasm, but you know what? The Romans did a whole lot of philosophy and a lot of debate about what really was truth. We have all kinds of philosophers from that time, and they were from Rome, and they were Greeks from that time period that were debating what really is truth. It could have been a genuine question. We don't know. It's easy for us to summarize that it's a sarcastic reply, but we really don't know. His actions seem to give him a bit of doubt as we go through, because the third question that I see in verse 39 down through 19:7, it says, shall I release the king of the Jews? Shall I, that I release unto you the king of the Jews, at the latter end of verse 39? It doesn't seem to me that he really wants to release the king of the Jews. Notice that he calls him now king of the Jews. We'll see here for the rest of this portion of these verses that we read, that we'll see a very indecisive leader in these verses. You know what? Before I get into this, this is a good place to break. This is a good place to break. But I want you to understand that as he goes through, Pilate really, really goes through and looks at, he's very indecisive in this whole process. It comes down to the end that Pilate does everything he can to try and get Jesus released. So bad that even the Jews accuse him of actually going against Caesar. Now, I believe that much of that was motivated by his own pagan superstitions, and we'll see that a little bit the next time that we study this portion of Scripture. But it is a very interesting thing to be able to see. And the other thing is that Pilate recognize Jesus as King of the Jews. I don't believe that this at all was a sarcastic way for him to be able to do this. I don't believe he was trying to demean him. I believe that he was making a statement to the Jews. This guy, he's different than any other person that I've come across. And he must be King of the Jews. So much the case that he put that sign above him on the cross in multiple languages. Very interesting when you start looking at it. But the one that was responsible, who was the one that was responsible? Who was the one that was going to reap the worst problem of that? Who was it that had the greater sin? Caiaphas. Caiaphas did. All right, let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us to study a portion of your word. We ask, Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct us as we go through the remaining portion of this study, Lord willing, next time. Lord, next week, we ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us. We ask, Lord, these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.